Please turn your Bibles once again to the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew chapter 7 this evening, verses 15 through 23. As we are nearing the conclusion of our study on the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus here is, as we mentioned last week, is beginning to apply his sermon to his listeners. And so tonight, our study, we're looking at verses 15 through 23. I'm going to ask that you follow along with me as I read aloud. This is God's holy and authoritative and inspired word. Matthew chapter 7, beginning with verse 15. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. We're going to end the reading of God's word there and trust that Lord will indeed bless his word unto us. Encourage you to keep your Bibles open as we study it. Once again, if you're one that likes to take notes, you'll find a portion in your scripture or in your bulletins that you may take some notes, and I'll assist you in that. Let's turn to our Lord in a prayer of illumination. Let's pray. Lord, we ask this evening for spiritual enlightenment as we read your word. Lord, that your Spirit will open our eyes to see these words that may not necessarily be hard to understand, but maybe difficult to swallow for us. Lord, help us to embrace the truth that we find here. Lord, that we may see your word, that we may be blessed by your Spirit. Lord, that we will be able to see these truths and apply it to us. Lord, thank you for the Sermon on the Mount. And thank you for these verses that we have read this evening. Bless them unto us, we ask this in Jesus' name, and let all of God's people say, Amen. Congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus here is speaking about false prophets. About false prophets. And that's not something that just affected him in the first century. If you're one that loves church history, you'll find time and time again of people who were false prophets. And they continue today. Whether it's seeing Benny Hinn's healing or Joel Osteen's mega church or reading Rob Bell's books, the false prophets are everywhere. And we must be on our guard. And they will continue into the future. We will have more Harold Campings. We will likely have more Joyce Meyers. And we must be careful that as we listen to them, as they teach and as they speak, that we must be careful to discern what they're saying. Remember back in Matthew chapter 7, verse 1. Jesus begins by saying, do not judge, or you too will be judged. Teaching us to be discernful, to teach us to not be hypercritical, but to be careful in discerning. And those words come up here again as Jesus concludes the Sermon on the Mount. Watch out for false prophets, because they're out there. They're out there. The church in Acts will deal with false prophets. Paul will instruct various churches with being careful about false prophets. He instructs us as well. As I said, this is the beginning of Jesus' application of the sermon. Last week, we looked at verses 13 through 14, and we saw that there was an urgent call for us to enter the kingdom of heaven, an urgent call to go the narrow way, to don't go with the crowds, don't go the broad way, but go to the narrow way, where it may be hard, but there is life at the end. I would say to you this evening that as Jesus continues, what he's saying here partly is as this section follows that the previous section, Jesus is saying, look, there's some who think they're on the right way, but they're not. There are some who think that that they are on that narrow path, and when reality is what they're teaching and what they're doing is the exact opposite. Sometimes the ways can look very similar. If you were to tell someone to drive up 31 from Benton Harbor, some could be confused because the signs say 196. They're the same. They're going to split off eventually. Sometimes the roads can look very similar. It can look very inviting. And so Jesus here, as he's teaching us about false prophets, is reminding us to be discerning, to be careful that you're not going down the wrong path, that you're not following the crowds, that you're going with the flow. Jesus is saying there are those who think they're part of God's kingdom who aren't. Jesus says to be on our guard. To be on our guard against those who don't see the importance of faith and repentance. To be on our guard for those who will say there are many ways for salvation. To be on our guard for those who will say holiness isn't a necessity. We don't have to obey God's word because, you know, we are saved by grace and therefore we can do anything we want. We must be careful that we are not pulled away and influenced by those who teach falsehood. And they exist today. Ministering in Nevada for 2 years, I encountered many Mormons. Some of you have likely had Jehovah's Witnesses knocking on your door. Some of you have likely watched the Trinity Broadcasting Network. Ironically, the guy who founded the Trinity Broadcasting Network doesn't believe in the Trinity. And so we must guard ourselves. And that's what Jesus is driving home here as he's applying it. He first talked about, well, which way will you go? And now he simply gives us instructions of watch out. Watch out. To watch. And so this evening we're going to look at this section of Scripture with three part points in mind. First of all, we want to watch out for false teachers. That's our first point this evening. Our second one is watch what they do. And thirdly, watch yourself. Watch yourself. And so let's look at this portion of Scripture together. First of all, watch out for false teachers. Watch out. Verse 15, watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. They're false teachers. Jesus here is teaching us that truth matters. Young people, don't let anyone tell you that absolute truth does not exist, because it does. Because if there was no absolute truth, then everything that we would hold to dearly would crumble. I think I've shared with you off the pulpit that I had a pastor friend of mine who was told absolute truth does not exist, and all he said was, are you absolutely sure? Because if he says that, yeah, I'm absolutely sure, he's made an absolute truth statement. He's contradicting himself just like that. Jesus here is teaching us, look, truth does matter. It matters what we believe. If it didn't matter, then Jesus wouldn't have brought it up. That there, it does matter what we believe. It does matter who we follow. Jesus here says, look, they outwardly look like they're in sheep's clothing. We remember Aesop's fables of the wolves in sheep's clothing. They look nice on the outside, but they're ferocious wolves. It's not just wolves. They're ferocious. They are dangerous, Jesus is stating. Truth matters. False prophets do exist. And we must watch out for them. We must watch out. Because wolves could enter into Faith URC. Wolves can enter the church in many different ways. Ones that say, well, you know what? Truth doesn't really matter. To say the Bible isn't, this is not everything. Jesus, yeah, he's important, but he's not the only important thing that we need for salvation. Paul will talk about it time and time again. He even will write to the elders, and he speaks to the elders in Ephesus, and he says, look, I tell you that there are going to be wolves that will come up in your own flock that will lead away the people of God. False prophets should be a real concern. It was a concern for Christ. It was a concern for his church. It should be a concern for us as well. We're not immune to it. We're not, we can easily fall. There was an evangelist in Canada by the last name of McDonald. He was known as the Billy Graham of Canada, leading crusades, leading people to Christ, God using him in a mighty way. And one day, he said, I don't believe any of it. And he became one of the most staunchest atheists of his time. None of us are immune. And so we must watch out. We must watch out for false prophets. We must watch out for heretics. We must watch out for false teachings. Now, this doesn't mean that we go on a heresy hunt. But we must be careful that we're not led astray. Those false teachers are dangerous. They're deceptive. They appear to be what they are not. And so we must discern. Well, how do we do that? How do we discern what are false prophets and what are true prophets? Well, you see, one of the ways we can discern that is studying God's Word. Studying it carefully. Not just reading it, not just simply being able to recite a couple verses here and there, but to truly study it and apply it. To know the truth. In Nevada, I had a strange encounter with a couple of Mormon evangelists. By the way, there's reasons why they go two by two. Just to let you know, one of the reasons why they go two by two is because you see, if one starts to think about God's word and start slipping in the Mormon faith. The other one reports them. They send them back to Utah to brainwash them. It's the reality. Two gentlemen came to my door after I got done going on my four-mile run in the Nevada heat. I'm sweaty, and they decide to encounter a conversation with me. I right away said, look, I'm a Presbyterian pastor. Yet they still tried to convert me. It was a great attempt, but it was pretty futile. But one of the things, one of the reasons why the Mormons are so strong, and interesting enough, one of their hot targets is West Michigan. Why? Is because there's people who know just enough about Scripture that they can take it and they can twist it and distort it so that you fall. So you go, that sounds pretty good. Because that's what they do. I read a portion of Scripture and they said, what translation is that? I said, well, it's the English Standard Version. Oh, we hold to the King James Version. And so I said, well, how about we just skip the King James Version? Let's go right to the Greek and Hebrew. I weren't real fond of that, by the way. But to know the truth, to know why we believe that Jesus is God, because the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we know that that's the reason why. That's a proof text for Jesus is God. That our cults won't. To know our Bibles, to know it and study it. And so challenge yourself to study God's Word. Not just read it and glance at it, but to truly study it. To be Berean-like, as in the book of Acts, as the Bereans studied it to make sure that what Paul was saying was true. Put that into context, it would make perfectly good sense. Here Paul is at one time a murderer of Christians, and now he's preaching the gospel. I think if I were listening to Paul, I think I might be studying it to make sure that he's not leading us astray either. Watch out for false prophets. Jesus describes them as being ferocious, and they are. None of us want to fall into that temptation and fall astray and go down the wrong path, to follow the broad way because it looks good, because someone twists God's word in such a way that we become deceived. They're deceptive. They're dangerous. And so we must discern. We must discern the truth from falsehood. We must discern what is truly God's word and what is man's word. We must discern what is the gospel and what is falsehood. Watch out for false prophets. That leads us to our second point this evening, and that is watch what they do. Watch what they do. Jesus says to here, verse 16, by their fruit you will recognize them. By their fruit you will recognize them. Verse 20, he repeats that. Thus, by their fruit you will recognize them. Fruit. Now, some of you are in farming, and some of you are in raising trees, this illustration is going to be like a no-nonsense. No, we don't plant corn and expect beans. We don't have apple trees and think maybe oranges will grow off it. Because we know what fruit they're to bear. And Jesus here says, look, by their fruit, you're going to recognize them. Jesus will go on and say, look, a good tree bears good fruit. A bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree is not going to bear bad fruit. A bad tree is not going to bear good fruit. You're going to know the distinction. You're going to be able to tell the difference between a bad tree and a good tree. Paul will talk about the fruits of the Spirit and the fruit of the flesh. They're distinct. They're different. And young people, we're called to live according to the fruit of the Spirit. We're supposed to exercise love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and self-control. Those are things that we're supposed to do. Those are the things that we're supposed to be and live for, because that's the fruit of the Spirit. That's the example that demonstrates the Holy Spirit's living in us. But if we want, if you think that, you know, that it's okay for you to get involved with all those fruits of the flesh, you're bearing bad fruit. And here, Jesus is instructing his disciples as they're considering watching out for those false prophets. How will you know which is a false prophet, which is a true prophet? It's going to be by the fruit. Apples don't grow on grapevines, and grapes don't grow on apple trees. He will say in verse 19, he will say that every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Fruitlessness is going to be destroyed and judged and condemned. And so Jesus here is saying, if you want to know what those false prophets look like, look at the fruit they bear. Well, what are some of those fruits? What are some of those areas that we should guard ourselves against as we consider, well, who's the false prophet and who's a true prophet? Well, one of the things is doctrine. Yeah, I said it, doctrine. Some of us, our eyes might roll a little bit in the back of our head when we say, oh, it's doctrine. But that is the truth. Because you see, we don't believe that some prophet's going to walk in and speak ex opera operanda, as the Mormons believe their president does at times, where suddenly he speaks and it's inspired. Roman Catholicism even looks at the Pope at times when he speaks, and he speaks in that same way. And suddenly there's a new revelation. And that happens. In the Mormon faith, Mormons outlawed polygamy. Right about the time that Utah was admitted into the Union, by the way, that was one of the reasons why they could become a state, was that they outlawed polygamy. They outlawed polygamy, and a few years later, the Mormon president had a revelation and said, guess what, I think polygamy's okay now. A false teacher is going to have false doctrine. It's going to contradict Scripture. It's going to contradict what the church has held to for years. Jesus will state in Matthew chapter 12, verse 33, he will say, either make the tree good and its fruit bad, or make the tree bad and its fruit good, for the tree is known by its fruits. And he will go on and say, verse 37, regarding the Pharisees, he will say, for by your words you shall be justified, and by your words you shall be condemned. And so he's saying that these false teachers, that by their doctrine, by the words they preach, by the words that they teach, by those they will stand or fall. And so tonight, if we believe in falsehood, if we speak falsehood, we will be judged for it. And so we must watch out so that we're not led astray. Comes in so many ways. Did you know, by the way, that Benny Hinn holds to a 9-person Trinity? Just want you to let that sink in for a little bit. A 9-person Trinity. That Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, each one of them has a body, soul, and spirit, so therefore it's 9 persons. And how do they? How does he come up with that? By distorting Scripture. How does Rob Bell believe that hell does not exist? It's because he distorts Scripture. Why would anyone listen to the theology of Oprah Winfrey? I don't know, but it's because she distorts Scripture. So we must watch out for false prophets. Watch out for the doctrine that they teach, because there are those that will teach what they think and not teach what God says. They will teach something that they think is right and not teach what Jesus Christ has said is right. They will contradict the word, and by their words they will be judged. So we need to watch what they do. One of the ways we do that is to listen to what they teach. Secondly, we look at their character. We look at their character. The true prophet has his life in accordance with the teaching of his lips. If he speaks the word of truth, we must look at their lives and say, does their lives reflect what they teach? James will say, faith without works is dead. Is their faith a living faith in their lives? That's how we distinguish a true prophet, a true teacher. There are false teachers who will say, though, do as I say, don't do as I do. They will display those works of the flesh. They will demonstrate their life isn't under the lordship of Christ. They will claim to be a follower of Christ, but then they decide to do anything they want to do. They will live an ungodly life and claim to be godly. They will think that they can bear bad fruit and still be a good tree. So there's a test of doctrine, there's a test of character, and finally it's their teaching. It's their teaching. It's simply listening to them. You see, Paul speaks of this in his epistles in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 18 verse 18 and 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 4. Paul tells Timothy time and time again, look out for those false teachers because they will make an impact. So we must test them. I love what John writes in 1 John 4, verse 1. He writes this, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirit to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Well, how do we apply this to us? Well, I ask you this evening, do you know the truth? Do you believe in the truth? Do you know the truth that is given to us in Scripture? Do you know it in your own hearts? Do you believe it? Do you know that salvation is by no other name than the name of Jesus? Are you grounded in God's Word? Are you grounded in prayer for one another? Are you grounded in the importance of worship? Are you grounded in the truth that we find in Scripture? Because if our roots are not deep into that fertile soil that of God's truth, then what's going to happen is we'll likely bear bad fruit. Or we'll likely be easily led astray. We'll find ourselves doubting certain things and listening to what our itching ears want to hear, and we decide that that's the way to go. We look at those two paths that Jesus talked about in verses 12 and 13, and we say, you know what? That narrow road looks hard. It looks difficult. There's a lot of people going down this wide road. I'm going down that road. I'm just going to be another face in the crowd. Test the spirits to see whether they are from God. We need to be passionate about the truth. Passionate. We need to stoke the fire that burns within us regarding God's truth, and we need to make that flame. It's one reason why we're thankful for elders, because one of their jobs, one of their duties there is to look out for false teaching. The elders know that if I were to say something extremely wrong, that part of their role is to come and talk to me. We need to be passionate about the truth. And young people, that includes you. Kids, that is you too. To be passionate, to be excited, to look forward to worship, to look forward to a Bible study, to look forward to Bible class at school, to look forward to family devotions, to make that important part of your family time. We should be passionate. That's what Jesus here is teaching. He says, look out, those false prophets are deceivers. They are going to manipulate you. They are going to mislead you. They are going to they are going to lead you astray. So look out. So watch out for false prophets. Watch what they do. And finally, watch, our third point is watch yourselves. Watch yourselves. Verse 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? And I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. We must be careful that we don't deceive ourselves. That we don't lead ourselves into deception. That when we profess our faith in Christ, whether it's standing here before church, or whether it's standing here making vows to baptize our children, or whether it's taking the communion cup, that we don't deceive ourselves into thinking that we're okay. But that our profession of faith in Christ is demonstrated each and every day. By living in obedience. By trusting in the salvation that is ours through Christ. To profess Him. To say, Jesus is my Lord and Jesus is my Savior. To say it and mean it and live by it. We need God's grace. We need God's grace because without God's grace, we wouldn't know Him. Without God's grace, we won't know His will. Without God's grace, we cannot confess to Him that He's our Father in heaven. Without God's grace, we cannot say, we cannot commit ourselves to following Jesus. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Some of us, it's all lip service. There's a very popular television show out. It's called Lip Sync Battle. And all they do is lip sync songs. And sometimes that's all we do with our profession is simply lip sync it. It doesn't mean anything. It's just mouthing words. Watch yourself so you do not deceive yourselves. Watch out, because you see, if we deceive ourselves, if we think, you know what, that it doesn't really matter, that we just go through all the motions, that we simply lip sync what we believe, what's going to happen is, imagine having the Lord saying to us, I never knew you. And Jesus saying, look, ground yourself in his word. Spend time in prayer. Trust in me alone for salvation. So that you're not led astray. So that your profession is real. So that you live in obedience out of gratitude for what he's done for you and for me. I can't imagine hearing God himself say to any one of us, I never knew you. Never knew you. So we need to watch out that we don't deceive ourselves. And that begins tonight. That begins right at this moment, right here at this time. Yes, it's easy to look out there. It's easy to look and say, you know what? I see the 24-karat gold thrones on the Trinity Broadcasting Network, and I've read that book, and I know for the fact that I know people who want to burn that book as quickly as they buy it off the shelves over at Family Christian stores. But we need to look to ourselves. And we need to ask ourselves, do we think we're okay? To ask ourselves, am I really trying to do this on my own? To ask ourselves, are we on the wrong path? Did I miss my turn? And that's why we commit ourselves to Christ. And so tonight what we need to do is to commit ourselves and to say, you know what? I don't want to deceive myself anymore. I don't want to be led astray by ferocious wolves. What I want to do is be grounded in your truth, God. And that begins by saying, Lord, I need you. Jesus, I need you. You're the way. You're the truth. You're the life. How interesting here, and as Jesus closes out the Sermon on the Mount, as he applies it in these three sections, what do we find? We find Jesus saying to us, enter through the narrow gate. He's the way. We find that you watch out for false prophets. Believe in the truth. There's the truth. You'll never guess what next week's going to be about. It's about being the life. It's about being one who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice. Jesus is the way, the truth, and life, and we must say in faith, yes. To not just lip sync it, to not just simply say we're going to mouth the words, not simply go through the motions, not simply come here to worship and just say, "Well, I need to be here. I can mark that on my list of things I've done." But we come here because we love the Lord. We worship because we know the God's grace. That we look forward to hearing God's word proclaimed from this pulpit and proclaimed in your various Bible studies and in your own personal Bible studies and Bible study fellowship and in your family devotions, and have a desire and a passion for it. So we're not led astray. So we know what is truth and what is false. So we can know who are the true teachers and preachers, and we'll know who the false ones are too. To know our Savior. To know that He is the way and the truth and life. So that someday when we enter into heaven, we're not going to hear those words, I never knew you, away from me. But he'll say, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into my kingdom. You've walked the right path. You've avoided the wrong things, the wrong teachers, the wrong doctrine, the wrong life. Because you followed me. And so tonight, may we follow Jesus Christ. May we come to him in faith. May we commit ourselves to him. So we'll know the truth. And the truth will indeed set us free. May God write his word upon our hearts this evening. And let all of God's people say, amen. Let's pray. Lord, there's much danger out there. Lord, there are many wolves in sheep's clothing. Help us to discern. Help us to discern their teaching, their character, what they do. Lord, help us not to be be drawn in by their flashy smiles and their false promises. But Lord, may we look to you. Ground us in your word, Lord. Help us be passionate about you. And Lord, that our professions are not just lip service, but are real. Lord, guard us. Guard us from falsehood, from false teachers. Guard us so that we do not deceive ourselves in thinking that we're okay. Lord, apply these words to us this evening. For we ask this in Jesus' name, and let all of God's people say, amen.